We're reviewing the games from the weekend and looking forward to the Super Bowl on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Hey everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Radio. I'm Dave Cabin, Senior Fantasy Analyst at RotoViz. I am joined by Matthew Friedman, the Editor-in-Chief of Fantasy Labs, part of the Action Network. We are brought to you tonight by MyBookie. And let's just start right off, Matt. 49ers, Chiefs will be meeting in the Super Bowl. We'll talk about the games in a second, but high level. Is this surprising to you in any way?
No, I mean, I think if you would have had to pick at like in the middle of the season, the teams likely to meet in the Super Bowl, you would have said on the one side, it probably would have been either Chiefs, Ravens, or Patriots. And then on the other side, you would have said probably 49ers or Saints. So to get to the point of where we are now, definitely not surprising, especially considering that the Patriots tailed off and then the Saints lost in round one. So the path was really cleared for this to be the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, once we saw the Saints go out on the NFC side, I think 49ers were clearly the favorite, as I don't believe that either of us were really sold on Green Bay due to some inconsistent play that we saw from them throughout the season. In terms of how that game unfolded, though, really, we saw San Francisco dominate early. The Packers were able to kind of get back into the mix, but it never really felt to me like they were truly in striking distance. How good are the Niners?
One second, let me back up. Did I say earlier that the Patriots didn't make the playoffs? Did I say that? I think I actually said that. I'm tired. I shouldn't do a podcast when I'm tired. Okay. But anyway, point being, yeah, Patriots also lost in the first round. How good are the 49ers? I think they're really good. They feel like a totally complete team. Ironically, the one thing that seems to be the weakest about them is Jimmy Garoppolo. And you wouldn't have expected that given how it was that he started his time with the 49ers, being traded in the middle of the season, coming in off of the bench, leading the team to five straight victories to close out the 2017 season. You wouldn't expect that he would be. And it's not as if I can really even say that he's like the weakness or a clear weakness. It's just that he's not the shining strength of this team. And normally, a quarterback is the strength of his team, especially when that team makes it this far into the postseason. You just have to look at the other side of it. And Patrick Mahomes is clearly the strength of the Chiefs. Like, he is the reason why they are here. And for the 49ers, you could think of maybe like three or four other reasons why they are in the Super Bowl other than Jimmy Garoppolo.
It is definitely an interesting thing that we have going on there. I think it was just six passes completed by Garoppolo, which is just not the type of thing that you expect. Obviously, a huge day from Raheem Mostert. How good is Mostert, or do you think that this is just the fact that he's in the right place at the right time, as we have seen Tevin Coleman have success back there? We've seen Matt Breida as well. And do you think if we were to interchange him with Coleman, who still might be dealing with injury, and I think that Mostert in the Super Bowl will be the guy that they go to first. But I think you kind of get where I'm going with this. Is this Mostert or is this the situation?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, Mostert was always a preseason superstar, and I'm always a little too partial to those guys. He looks explosive when he runs. It's hard to say that he's not talented given what he's done. And it's not as if this is a one game sample or a one season sample. He's been limited in his usage, but this year he was productive. Last year he was productive. I mean, the year before that he had only six carries, but like he was good on those six carries. For his career, he has 6 yards per carry and is for 178 carries. Like, that's not a huge amount of carries, but that's pretty good. And he's pretty good as a receiver too. So I think there's a lot of reason to be enthusiastic about him. So is he good? I think he's good enough. And a lot of it is the scheme and the situation. But I don't think we should say that like Raheem Mostert is an untalented player. What I would say is he's like old. He's like 27, right? He's going to be 28 next year. If you happen to have him in a dynasty league, I think you have to try to sell him immediately. But other than that, yeah, like I like him.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about Mostert, to close out the season from week 12 on, went at like around 11 plus points every game, had a couple performances over 20, three performances over 20, then we see him be extremely impressive so far in the postseason. But like you said, he's an older player. So those of us in Dynasty, I think the point that you made there is true, should probably be looking to see what we can get for Mostert right now. What about people that maybe are looking for a guy they can get onto the roster for just one season, or even as we start to look ahead to redraft in 2020, how much appeal is there for him, given the fact that, again, it's a team which has multiple players in the backfield?
I think he's going to be extremely overdrafted next year.
Me too. Yep.
So he's someone I would actually be looking to fade. And it's not because he doesn't have talent, but he is older. He doesn't have an established role. I really doubt that they are going to load him up as the full-time lead back next year because they do have other players. So, I mean, if there's... If for some reason, like he goes on a massive run in the playoffs, and then there's a lot of hype building for him and he's being drafted like in the fourth or fifth round, like I'm just going to think that's way too high.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I think the only way that Mostert could get that high for me would be some situation which isn't going to happen where you have Coleman and Breida both entirely gone from the team. Before we move on, though, from wrapping up that one, any closing thoughts on the Packers or takeaways from this season? I guess the things that I'm interested about are, and we've talked about before, that Aaron Jones can't repeat the level of, you know, touchdown production that he had. But do you see him being a top five back next season? As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, are we ever going to see him be, you know, one of those elite fantasy quarterbacks again? And were you impressed by any of the receivers other than Davante Adams in 2019? That's a lot. So I'll kind of just let you take that wherever you want it.
Aaron Jones, I don't know. I'm still a little bit pessimistic on him because I think a lot of things worked out for the Packers that might not work out moving forward. And as we mentioned, he did get a lot of touchdowns, and I think there will be some regression there. He's an explosive player. I wouldn't want him in the top five. I guess I'd be more comfortable with him, you know, in the like 10 to 12, 10 to 15 range, but I doubt he will last that long. I bet he'd be taken higher. So I will probably be out on him. Aaron Rodgers, hard to say. You know, there were times when he looked good and you look at the final numbers and it looks like he had a good game, but a lot of that came in garbage time. And so you can kind of see that reflected in his QBR rating as opposed to like his quarterback rating. So it's hard. I could see like it's another season in the offense that he's in. So if he progresses the way that a quarterback typically progresses in his second year in a new system, then maybe, because he's still, you know, it's hard to say where he is. Like, is he a top 10 quarterback or is he now like a QB2 just in terms of like his overall skill set and ability? I think he could be a mid-range quarterback one next year, but I don't know. I probably won't be that interested in him because I would just rather wait and draft someone who's going to go after him. At the wide receiver position, or just the pass catching options in general, they need to do something because Davante Adams is good, but he can't carry everything. Impressed a little bit with Alan Lazard, you know, like undrafted guy, you know, started to break out a little bit, had some flashes, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's the long-term answer as a number two guy. It wouldn't be surprising to see them draft someone in the first or second round. And then Jimmy Graham, I mean, I know he had four receptions for 59 yards, but I don't know. I think he's pretty dusty at this point, and I would not be disappointed if he retired this offseason.
All right.
But, I mean, like, Jimmy Graham, like, at one point looked like he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and I don't think he gets there. And, like, the longer he plays, the less he looks like the guy who was awesome at one point. You know, like, the I think the more it almost kind of, like, hurts the reputation of what Jimmy Graham used to be.
Yeah, I know. I understand how that perception makes its way into things. It's funny, too, how for certain players, it's like if you can keep up to some level of production, that becomes something that gets looked upon favorably, especially I think at the running back position. Yeah. But for a tight end like Graham, it certainly is not helping his case. Final thing to close on the Packers. Pretty good opening season, I would say, for Matt LaFleur.
Yeah. I mean, great opening season for
pretty
him.
Much, yeah.
The one thing that's kind of funny is that they, you know, even like entering this game, they had an overwhelmingly positive against the spread record. So like it would look like they really outperformed expectations. But they were covering these games often by just like a half a point or a point. And so like their overall, like against the spread record and then their 13-3 record, that is almost certain to regress. Or maybe they improve and that improvement meets the records that they've had previously. But normally it doesn't work like that.
So my final thing I want to mention here, this is, I don't even know what I would call this, a fun little fact. Did you know that LaFleur played professional football in the Champions Indoor Football League for a team named the Omaha Beef?
I did not know that.
I just discovered this while quickly looking at his Wikipedia bio, and that is just a shocking thing that there's a team named the Omaha Beef. And he also played for a team named the Billings Outlaws, which I think that's a better name for a team, another indoor football team.
I don't even know like what league that's in and what state Billings is in.
Oh, of course you know what state Billings is in.
No, I really don't.
Really? It's in Montana. I guess maybe there's no reason. I guess I think I've heard people talk about Billings and skiing, but maybe you're not encountering as many people as I am that are really into skiing.
I work from home. I don't talk with anybody.
Yeah, but no, what I mean is like growing up around, yeah, you know, where I'm from, people ski all the time. Yeah. So, all right, maybe
no,
that's why.
I grew up all in right. Texas. I don't know why anyone would leave that state to go anywhere else. as far as we're concerned, there are no other cities in any other states outside of Texas.
That is what I've heard. Well, it is a huge state. So, all right, moving along. Actually, though, before we get too much further along, quick reminder to get that 10% RotoViz podcast listener discount by going to the podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. I also want to remind everybody that you're going to want to go to mybookie.ag and get yourself set up if you're not already on MyBookie. Tremendous site, great place to place your bets, quick payouts, excellent customer service. You know that you can trust them. And if you have not got in on the betting action, there is probably not a more fun time to do it than the Super Bowl. And next episode, we're going to be talking about some of the awesome prop bets too for the rookie class. So if you're looking to get your NFL fix, even though the season is coming to an end, there are ways to do it. All right, so let's shift over to the AFC. Tennessee goes up early over Kansas City. We see the Chiefs work their way back. Were you impressed at how well Tennessee was able to start that game, especially just given the fact that we saw Ryan Tannehill in his first season with the team, not even the starter to begin the season, make his way in and then carry this team to almost, in a way, making it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, okay, I'm trying to think of like, okay, so yes, if you had told me at the beginning of the year that the Titans were in the playoffs and that they had to go to Ryan Tannehill and that they were playing in the AFC championship game, like I would be impressed that they went up by, what was it, like 17-7 at one point. But based on how they have played the last couple of weeks and based on what they had to do to get here, I don't think it's like it wasn't surprising that they went ahead 17-7 because their strength, the running game, matched up perfectly with the greatest weakness that the Chiefs have, and that's their run defense. So you could easily see how they could at one point get ahead 17-7, but like it's not a surprise that the Chiefs were able to come back because they're an explosive team, and the Titans, you know, as dynamic as they have been at various points in the season, they're not an explosive team the way that the Chiefs are.
Right. AJ Brown, I just want to just mention again, I am so excited about his outlook.
Yeah.
Not that he had like a tremendous game. I actually don't know what his line was. I think it was just like 3 of 6 for maybe like 50 yards, no touchdowns. But just again, seeing him out there just made me really excited about him.
Yeah, he made some big catches and like, you know, yard after the run type of moves. If he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, like I will be happy for him and very sad for my investments because he's like the one guy who has a chance of winning that I have no exposure to. Like if anyone else wins, basically, I make money. And if he wins, I lose everything that I've invested into the rookie class. So I am awaiting that anxiously.
Yep. Another running back that I want to talk with you about here, Damian Williams. Should people be sold on him in the Chiefs backfield by now? But my question being, if he is, you know, if he's the lead back for the Chiefs when we open the season next year, should people be viewing him as a top option?
I don't know. No, you know, because he's going to be another year older. He's never really been able to handle like the rigors of being a full-time back, especially like the running aspect of that. Like he can handle the receiving workload as a full-time back, but he just, you know, like if he goes above 12 carries per game on a regular basis, he starts to wear down. And I don't know, like that offense is just geared through the air anyway. So like you always have to wonder like how much production is he really going to get on a consistent basis. But I don't know, like if McCoy is gone, and if it's just Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson, then maybe. The thing that kind of scares me is the idea that Daryl Williams could be back next year and he could be the goal line guy. Because if you are investing in Damian Williams, you're basically hoping like three things. One, that he stays healthy. Two, that he continues to get a lot of the receiving workload. And then three, even if he's not a good runner, he still gets like almost all of the goal line carries. And if Daryl Williams comes in as the vulture, like that really hurts the investment case for Damian Williams.
Yeah, that was one of the points I was going to get to, because when I'm recalling the game yesterday in my mind, he did have 17 carries. So I feel like, you know, he had a lot of work. You know, I know he got in the end zone. It felt pretty good. But when you really look back upon it, still only 45 yards, did have 5 receptions. But kind of the point is we have those guys behind him that could eat away. In both phases, you start to take away some of the touchdowns, and from week to week, maybe we're not looking at as strong of a candidate for a high draft pick next season as I would like.
Yeah.
So I think I'm on board with you there. Any closing thoughts on either of these teams before we move forward to the Super Bowl?
No, let's get to the Super Bowl.
All right. So obviously, we have the Kansas City Chiefs matching up against the San Francisco 49ers. The opening line that I saw was 1.5 with Kansas City being favored. Did you see something different?
Yeah, so you can, like this opened anywhere from like 2.5 to a pick. And it's kind of still like lingering at a 2 at one book and 1 at other books. And so that's pretty much where it is. And to give some sort of sense of what the market is doing, 42% of the bets, but 49% of the money has been devoted to San Francisco. And so, you know, that would indicate that the larger, you know, like quote unquote sharper bets are backing the 49ers right now.
That's I don't know. Did you find that surprising at all? Or
no,
I kind of feel like, yeah, go
ahead. I mean, the 49ers, like, you can see, I mean, I think this is a coin toss game. You know, like, I think it really is pretty evenly matched. And so I think I think people are just kind of looking at it and saying, okay, I can see how the 49ers win this game. And right now they're underdogs. I'm going to bet on them. You know, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that for sure makes sense. You know, the first thing, and I'm curious to get your take on this, when I start to think about this game is I do think about the fact that the Chiefs are going to score points. San Francisco has been tremendous on the ground. We don't have the strongest sense of how the 49ers could respond if they need to push things down the field through the air. As you start to think about this game, is that one of the concerns that you have for those people that are pro San Francisco?
Okay, so it's good that you bring this up, and I do want to think through this a little bit. I think the 49ers are the more complete team. And I think that their running game matches up well with the running defense that the Chiefs have. Like, that is their clear weakness. And as good as the Ravens were running the ball this year, I think the 49ers have been almost as good at running the ball. Like, they're very inventive with what they do. They have a lot of pre-snap motion. You know, they're cycling guys in and out of the backfield. They have a great blocking tight end in Kittle. They have a great blocking fullback. Like, they're a complete team, like, from the running game perspective. So I think, like, what they can do on the ground matches up well with the weakness that the Chiefs have. And so I think with the ground game, they can keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline better than most teams probably could. But if they have to get into a shootout, like, I say that Jimmy Garoppolo is, like, not the big strength of this team, but, you know, he did get in a shootout with the Saints, you know, and they won 48-46. They did get in a shootout with the Rams in week 16 and they won 34-31. You know, they did just score 37 points this last week. And they have one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best defense in the league. And, you know, particularly strong in pass defense. Number one, let me rephrase that, top two, but I still think they're probably number one if you count only the games Shaquiski Tartt played. So I'd say number one in pass defense DVOA against tight ends. And, you know, Kelce is a really tough matchup, but I think they can do a pretty decent job of slowing him down. They're also strong in pass defense against running backs, and I think that's where Damian Williams is at his best. I think they will struggle to stop Tyreek Hill, because Sherman, as good as he is, he's not quite as good against the smaller, speedy guys, because Sherman is more of a press man corner, and you know, those guys can sort of struggle with someone of Tyreek Hill's talent who can just, if he gets by him, then he's gone. So that is a weakness, but I think you can make a pretty compelling case for how it is that the 49ers are able to move the ball against the Chiefs, how they can respond in a shootout if it comes to that, and then how on the defensive side of the ball, they are good enough to not to like erase what Patrick Mahomes can do, but good enough to slow him down. And in the 12 games they've had with Dee Ford on the field, they've held opponents to 15.5 points. Like, they're an immensely talented unit.
Definitely. I don't think you can take that away from them. So I don't know if we've been able to parse out, and if you're not ready yet to make this statement, have you made a decision in your mind, and are you significantly more in favor of putting your money on one side of this line than the other?
Yeah, I've already bet on San Francisco at 1.5. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, 1.5 point favorites, like, it's, yep, you know, I don't mind it. And I'm going to, you know, see where this line goes. It wouldn't surprise me if it did go a little bit more towards San Francisco as the week goes on. You know, so I feel like I'm getting some closing line value there, but you know, really it's a toss up. And, my inclination was, okay, either I get some closing line value, or, you know, maybe it moves to the other side and I try to grab a middle, you know, like maybe like a middle on one with both sides. Yeah, I can see the case for the 49ers a little bit easier than I can see the case for the Chiefs. Like the Chiefs, it basically comes down to, we have Patrick Mahomes and he's awesome. Like that's the case for the Chiefs. Because the 49ers are better in every other comparison.
Well, sure. I get your overarching point, but I mean, I do think that the skill players that the Chiefs have should count for something in this.
Yeah. Okay. So I say Patrick Mahomes, I basically mean the passing game. So the passing game for the Chiefs is better, but the running game is better for the 49ers. The run defense is better for the 49ers. The pass defense is better for the 49ers. They're probably just as good in special teams, but yep. You know, like it's comparable there either way. And I don't know, like, so I guess in this situation, it comes down to coaching, and I like Andy Reid a lot, but he has been known to make some really big mistakes in key moments. Yep. You know, Shanahan also has his moments of like letting the Patriots back from a 28-3 deficit, in part because like he couldn't coordinate the offense as successfully as he wanted to. You know, and like that's not all on him. Some of that's the defense, some of that is the head coach he was coordinating under, but yeah, Shanahan has his flaws too. Yeah, I think I'm on the 49ers.
That's reasonable. Final thing that we'll talk about before we close down this episode, the over under that I've seen is 55. Thoughts yeah, on that? That's, so, I mean, I feel like that's a tough
yeah,
one.
Yeah. So, that opened at 51.5, and it's been bet up to 54 at most books, but 54.5, 55 at a couple of books. And, given how much that number has moved, it's not surprising, that 84% of the bets, and 92% of the money is on the over, which, like those are really smoking numbers. And I haven't taken it yet, but I will probably be on the under if it stays at 55.
I hear that, because I honestly would not be shocked if we see this move up, which it sounds like you're still expecting.
I mean, I don't know how much more can move up beyond 55, because that is such an aggressive number anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's being driven by a lot of casual bettors. And people who are like, oh, the Chiefs score a lot of points and the 49ers score a lot of points, I'm going to bet on the over. But I don't know. I mean, the Super Bowl teams tend to play a little bit tighter. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on the under. I haven't bet it yet, but that's where I'm leaning.
Yeah. Oh, if I had seen that 51, I definitely would have been on top of that. But the 55, not nearly as obvious. Anyway, though, that will do it for our first episode of the week. As always, please make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks to MyBookie for sponsoring the show. We will be back. You can follow me on Twitter at DaveCabinFF. You can follow Matt at MattFTheOracle. Until next time, remember, it's not a fantasy if you believe it.